Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, July 7th, 2021. The Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Website, HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. Two N's on Hagman. Also, HagmanStore.com. I want to thank you so much, HagmanStore.com, for two things. The first thing, thank you so much for your interest and your purchase of the, of my newest book, In the Dark of Night. It's already in 9 countries, thousands of copies sold, 4.9 average rating on Amazon. Hey, if you've read it, please post your honest review or give an honest rating on Amazon. I know there's some flybys that will hit you with 1 star and stuff like that to bring it down, but it is what it is. But it's available in Kindle as well as paperback. I prefer the paperback. Why? Because I'm a paperback kind of guy. All right, so there it is there on Amazon. Also, Goodreads, that's goodreads.com. Certainly, if you're part of that, leave a review and rating on that, on Goodreads. All right, an honest review and rating. I'm looking at Goodreads and kind of getting used to that. I love to read. So it's an obvious place where, people who love to read would go. So, but thank you again. Amazon, Hagman Store, if you'd like, something inscribed in the book or signed or whatever, get it right out to you. The, orders that came in over the holiday weekend are going out today. Wanted to let you know that. And thank you so very much for that. We were briefly out of stock, sadly, but, with whatever happened last summer and fall, and even right through the present, man, things have been screwed up. And you're going to see how screwed up here momentarily. You're going to hear how screwed up momentarily. But I've got a great show lined up for you today. With me, of course, is Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. That's ProvisInstitute.com. Before I get to him, I want to show you a photograph. Eric the Tech, I can't say enough good about Eric the Tech. He's my son-in-law. And he beats me, when no one's looking in places that doesn't leave marks. But anyway, no, I'm going to show you what he's done. He didn't want to show this picture, but I insisted. I used my authority. I saw smoke coming out of his ears and head. His head was on fire. His head was about to explode. And here's what he's dealing with. This is our soundboard and a Comrex box that actually the satellite uplink for, the show. But that's just one of how many pieces? Like 4 pieces? It's I don't know. It's amazing. But look at all those wires. And of course, these little post-its and little, labels on all the wires.
I had to move some stuff.
Oh.
And you always got to clean it because all the dust collects. So.
Oh yeah. Dust likes wires. Yes. Did you, are you done?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We're testing it right now. Make sure I set it up right.
Wow. See, folks, I mean.
That's what those sticky notes are for.
again, this is just one of, I think, 4 boxes, elements. If you can appreciate what it takes to send this signal, to the satellites, to their satellite, to different locations all at once to bring guests on. But this, your support, thank you for your support. A lot of times people say, well, geez, it's real simple. You just put an iPhone up there and you start recording. Well, yeah, you can do that, except when it gets a little bit more complicated, you start, your signal goes out to, satellite, also different, actually when affiliates will pick you up, and that's a whole different, it's all another conversation.
And we've got video audio feeds.
Yep.
We've got just audio feeds going out to different places, recording hard, in different places. So it's,
and you know, I'm glad you said that, because this, with all the censorship that's going on, we're hardened to some extent against that censorship. And it's because of you, folks, your generosity, your contributions to this show, that we're able to do that. And, you know, keep Eric in, Theo, his dog, and my daughter in Kibble, Theo and Kibble and the rest of the, you know, but thank you. Thank you, Eric, for doing what you do. I could never do that. I can barely operate. I'm still looking for the buttons on my cell phone. Okay. Yeah, seriously, you know, the numbers where you push. In fact, I'd prefer if it was a rotary phone, but that's another story for another day. All right. A couple of announcements as well. No show tomorrow. The reason, of course, you know that we're working in the field. You know that we're working, boots on the ground investigating human and child sex trafficking. Well, Eric has seen some of this, and he's part of this, of course. What do you think of this, Eric, what we're doing? You know the backstory. You know the background. You know more than people.
There's a lot that goes into it. A lot.
And I want to thank Bob.
It's literally unbelievable.
So if you would walk in to what we're doing now, and without getting specific, would you, I mean, it is hard to believe, isn't it? Especially the satanic stuff.
It's one of those things that if you explained it to somebody, they would be like, okay. And I think part of that response is, I don't know. It's, they don't want to believe something like that as well.
You know, 10, 12, 15 years ago, investigating murders and homicides.
Those are easy compared to this.
I think I said to somebody, I don't know, I'll take those. Give, you know, let me do that again. Okay. You're right. They're not easy, but they're easier than dealing with this. And I've got to give Russ Dizdar so much credit and his team, and Craig Sawyer so much credit and his team, what they do. Because now Craig and his team, you know, actually rescuing children, from the arms of coyotes and such. That happens, and it's happening. And support Vets for Child Rescue, Craig Sawyer. The stuff that's said about Craig, and I just want to mention this because, you know, people will say, well, you shouldn't address your critics. Well, the critics are not really critics. The critics are out there in many cases, not all, but many cases to throw shade on people like Craig and make you believe what he's not doing, what he's doing, and make you believe that the problem is not as big as what it is, when in fact it's bigger than what you think it is. It's done with malice, with the intent to to stop the investigations, to stop the rescues. And this past weekend, I've said this before, and I'm going to say this again, and I've seen comments, I've gotten emails. Why do you keep talking about this? Because what we're talking about is the currency, the actual currency of the satanic global 2030 Klaus Schwab, Party of Davos, the Hollywood elite, the Washington elite, the lobbyists. I mean, those people in the know, the eyes wide shut kind of stuff. This, children, women, human beings are the currency. Their blood is the currency of this globalist New World Order. And folks, again, I can't talk about any ongoing investigation. I can't do that as much as I want to. But I think in the near term, and this is so important, in the near term, you're going to see headlines or things in the in things that can't be denied in the media, that Russ and Craig and myself, to some extent, are responsible for. Okay, I don't know how else to describe it. But again, if you're listening to people that say, well, you know, some secret military unit rescued 2,000 children from some underground military base, shut up. Yeah, I mean, not you shut up, but no, because that has a tendency, that kind of stuff has a tendency to permit the opposition, the people engaged in this, to say, see, look how crazy these people are, because that's not happening. It's more granular. It's more gritty. It's less glamorous. It's work that, you know, it's hard to explain. It's difficult to explain, but it's one foot after the other. It's a lot of, investigative work. Now, there's no magic, you know, oh, look, they rescued 2,000 people. Now, there are cases in a larger sense where, you know, 65, 70 people from human traffickers. I get that. But there's no fake, silly, you know, Pentagon crew that's out there doing what they do. It's a bunch of crap, and I'm telling those people to stop it. Because it's one by one by one. It's, you look at the, you know, a potential, I was going to say pervert, but well, I guess I can say pervert. And, you know, you've got to start digging and dig and dig and, okay, get evidence and obtain evidence. And then, you've got to find a law enforcement agency, the appropriate law enforcement agency. And then you've got to seriously educate them as to what is going on, especially when you get into the satanic part of it, the demonic part of it. And then from there, you've got to be able to address that with the district attorney or the state attorney, or essentially, or if it's interstate, the attorney general's office, again, in the larger sense, the representative thereof, and explain what's going on and show the evidence. And because you could say, well, if you've got the evidence, it should be very easy. Well, certainly it would be easy to show the evidence of, we'll say, a kidnapping. That's easy. Again, I'm painting with a broad brush here, but when you get into the, different levels, you know, what was the motivation and how big is this? How big is the conspiracy? Then it gets really deep. And again, I'm not going to take my guest time up, with all of this, but all of this gets into, again, the currency of the globalists. It's distasteful. It's disgusting. It's something that you would never in a million years, the normal average person, would ever believe it's happening. You know, I had two reporters from the Rolling Stone magazine in here a couple of years ago. Okay. And I was mocked in the Rolling Stone. Okay, fine. But I stopped talking. And the reason I stopped, I knew it was a mistake to invite him in here. I knew it was a mistake. I absolutely knew it from the beginning, and I thought, okay. So they come in here, and I'm not going to tell you what I – well, I'll tell you. No, I'm not going to tell you what I did with the – anyway, they came in here, and they began asking questions, and I said, okay, I don't know. You know what? I don't know. I guess I'm just a goof. I guess I wasted your time. I just shut down because they could not adequately – They had no desire to tell the truth. So, you know, what was that song about the Rolling Stone? I got my picture on the rolling cover of the Rolling Stone. I don't know. It was, anyway, be careful what you wish for, right? Because you might get it. All right. So anyway. So thank you for supporting this platform, for supporting Russ and Craig Sawyer. God bless those men, and they have done, are doing God's work. And I got to tell you what I've seen over the past, especially as things have, and things are really heating up right now. I mean, they are really accelerating in such a way that you're going to see some things. They're accelerating. Things are accelerating. Okay. All right. I want to show you this leading into Richard Proctor coming up here. I want Richard's take on this. Now, there's a lot of information, a lot of news out there, a whole lot of news, but really at the epicenter of the news, driving the news, driving current events, driving what is to come is, again, the party of Davos, the people that Richard Proctor writes about in his Liberty series, the economic part of it, what he writes about in Bathroom Economics, the constitutional part, what he writes about in Saving the Constitution. But the real epicenter of all of this, the driving force behind this, is this satanic agenda of the globalists, the party of Davos, the Agenda 2030, that's the driving force behind this. And you can see things accelerating. So, I looked at probably, 50 different video clips. And this one touches a nerve, I think. Number one, because War Room Steve Bannon, he was President Trump's, advisor, campaign advisor in 2016. He knows President Trump. But that aside, the kind of the mainstream factor, they're starting, if you consider Steve Bannon mainstream, which I don't, okay, but if you would say, well, he's more mainstream than not, you know, he would be like a cross between Tucker Carlson and Mark Levin, Dan Bongino, for example. I don't know, but when he starts talking about these kind of issues, you better pay attention. So again, I want Richard Proctor's take on what you folks are about to hear. If you didn't see this, didn't hear this, Joe Allen yesterday was talking about he's a tech and transhumanist columnist. Now you might say, what does transhumanism have to do with the Constitution or Richard Proctor? I'm going to tell you what it has to do. It's actually, you know, we are supposed to be secure and safe in our person, in our property, in our papers. Okay. Constitutionally secure. You've got this pseudo government, this authority, having authority, power only because we have given it to them. We have allowed them. And they're attempting to, or will be attempting to enforce or force upon us certain things that, they're just not right. So I ask that you watch this clip after it. Now it's about almost 5 minutes. And I want to thank, Steve Bannon, the War Room. It's about 6 minutes. And I want to thank, again, Steve Bannon, the War Room, for allowing us to use this. Please subscribe, look up the War Room on Rumble. He's got a great show every morning and afternoon, with his, litany of guests and such. But watch this, and then Richard is going to come on, and we're going to talk. We're going to have a discussion. And after that, he can go anywhere he wants. But I really want his take on this based on even a post-constitutional society, if that's what you think that we're in. Here it is. Thank you for allowing me to all these words just to kind of fall out of my mouth. Go ahead. Watch this.
Joe Allen, I want to bring you in for a second. Joe, you're a new contributor that's been, that's doing transhumanism, that's doing the UFO, which I think may be a misdirection play. But I want to talk about it because you just saw what they said. They're going to go door to door. Your article about children, the digitization of your children's brains. Walk us through to talk about how out of control this thing is now, right? The research, the science, the dangerous areas they're getting into that nobody has control over. They're not asking anybody's opinion. I want to walk through some of these articles that you've been coming up with. We're putting you up on the site. You're a major contributor for us now. We've got to get, you know, we've got to get this information out. Talk about the digitization of your children's brain.
Certainly, Steve. Thank you for having me. I think looking at this notion of going door to door to check on people's biomedical status is a very good indication of how quickly something that seems very distant and very unthinkable can happen. Now, this article, Transhumanists Want to Digitize Your Baby's Brain, published at Salvo Magazine, it's looking at a goal that was put forth by an initiative called Welcome Leap under the Welcome Trust. This was first broken by Whitney Webb at Unlimited Hangout, by the way. What the plan is, according to their own documents, is to take infants at 3 months old, suit them with sensors, and put various other monitoring devices around their home, monitor every action that they take, monitor every word that they begin to utter until the age of 3, in order to track the development of their executive function. Now, this is basically the most nightmarish sort of outcome of the normalization of constant surveillance and biocultural engineering. So why even consider that this sort of sci-fi worldview would become realized? Well, as you say, today Joe Biden announces that they're going to go door to door to make sure that an experimental vaccine has been put in your arm and in your teenager's arm and in your children's arms, your infant's arms, perhaps eventually. So I don't really think it's too far outside the realm of possibility that things like the Welcome Group are proposing, or even more far out things like people literally turning to their digital devices for their spiritual fulfillment, are really that far away. In fact, I think by and large, we're already here. What we're seeing is kind of the tip of the spear of a technocratic and at the most lofty sense, transhumanist sort of agenda playing out in our society before our eyes.
Joe, this is exactly why we brought you onto the War Room full time, is that you're writing and your understanding of connecting culture, religion, and what's happening in these research labs. You know, people, when Dr. Naomi Wolf came on a couple of months ago, we had her on for the first time. The mainstream media was treating her like she was some kind of wingnut. She's an alarmist. You know, she got this thing about digital passports. Everything that Dr. Wolf, and remember, Dr. Wolf's a progressive, right? She's a liberal. She's certainly not part of the Trump movement. Everything that she has said from that period of time has come true, including today.
That's exactly right.
Right? And she said they're going to step up one time and say that they're going to go door to door. And today, not the War Room, but the White House announces they're going to do that. The experimentation, and we're going to have Joe on here and carve out significant time, because this transhumanism is, when you talk about signal to noise, it actually is the most important thing that's going on, because this is why you have to have a populist revolt. The same people that brought you globalization are the same people in back of this transhumanism. And when you listen to Joe Allen and hear the type of, not just experiments, but type of programs that the technocracy, these corporations in league with big business are already starting to push out, and this digitization, you would sit there and go, well, this is crazy. This will never happen. Just like you would sit there and go, no guy that's living at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue will ever step up to a microphone and say that we're going to go door to door to find out something about, like you said, an experimental gene therapy. By the way, if people want to take the experimental gene therapy, people don't have a problem with that. Take it. But it's sold as that you don't, nobody else should have to take it to jeopardize you. So, Joe, real quick, we only got about a minute and a half here. Talk about where you're going on all your investigations.
Well, if I could just return to one point. A year ago this month, Klaus Schwab published his book, The Great Reset. In that book, he basically sounded a sort of triumphant tone that because of the lockdowns, because of the constant confinement, all of our needs, our basic needs, hunger, sex, socialization, spirituality would ultimately be digitized, that basically our entire lifestyle would become digitized, and that this extreme measure taken on a global scale would be the catalyst for all of these techno-religious cultural movements that had heretofore been somewhat unthinkable. I think this is perhaps in some sense dystopic, but, you know, we're living it, man. So,
Joe, keep going, sir. We got about 30 seconds. Keep going.
The only thing I want to say at this point is that I really do think that most people still believe in organic community. Most people still believe, at least in America and across the world outside of Europe, in traditional religious systems and the sort of ancient glue that has held together our societies up to this point. And I see no reason to throw it away or fundamentally alter it with the dreams of a technocratic elite coming out of the World Economic Forum or Silicon Valley, or perhaps most importantly, the CCP, which, as your show has shown many times, is tightly connected with both of those two elite systems.
Joe, thank you very much. All right. Amazing.
All right. Thank you for that. Now, just very quickly, what I'd like people to understand, what I mentioned earlier about the currency or the children, the human trafficking, the sex trafficking, the spirit cooking. Yes, that's a thing. Yes, it's real. The Eyes Wide Shut environment, all of that. That has a lot to do with this. Now, we were talking about transhumanism a decade ago. I mean, Steve Quayle, he was talking about that before, you know, before Eric was born. I'm kidding, but not too much. But how today, how does this affect Americans, we Americans as citizens, who in a country that has apparently still, not apparently, but still has a constitution? It may not be followed, but okay. So how does it affect us? You know, what's going on here? And of course, for the background, I cannot push this enough. The Liberty series by Richard Proctor, the entire series gets into the backdrop, the foundation of all of this. But Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, link in the program description box, at HagmanReport.com. Welcome. Thank you for your patience as I went through this. But there's so much to unpack here, if you don't mind. Just if we can talk about this, and then again, you can go anywhere you'd like. The floor will be yours. But what do you think, sir?
Hey, guy. My jaws are tight.
Yeah.
I am angry. Think about it. Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure. All you have to have is that those nine words or so. To be secure. Are we secure? Folks, I talked to them about the July 24th celebration on my 11th episode at length. I talk about whose liberty are we celebrating, ours or 1788? And then I point out, it's a little bit long this time, then I point out how we're really celebrating 1788, not ours. Okay? Now, this clip that we just looked at, I wrote about these, one of the volumes, I don't remember which volume, I could look it up, but I don't want to take the time. One of the volumes talks about the government watching the people, watching everything they do and how they're doing it and why they're doing it. Folks, I wrote about this in 2015. There's things in my book about how they're surveying you through the walls of your home when they want to. They're listening to you. Oh, you go back to E.T. Just watch the movie E.T. and watch the surveillance that they're doing to listen inside the homes of people. Oh, folks, it's really serious. And E.T. is a long time ago. It's gone far beyond that. They listened to the stuff that was going on in the home. Okay? This is not fake. I expect it. Do you remember the N1, Y1, or whatever it was called, flu that we got, a bird flew there, and we had a disease, okay? You remember that? Do you remember the government talking about going home to home and giving shots? Oh, yeah. It's the same thing. We haven't invented anything new, except this time we have an administration controlled by the people who want to do this. So the administration said, okay, let's do that. You're going to pay me enough money. I'll get more prestige. I'll get more kudos. I'll get more more, my family will have more mansions and more boats and more privileges, more security if we do this, so let's do it. And that's what's happening. You think Bill Gates is a friend of the country? He is one of the dastardly leaders. George Soros, a disaster. But you don't know the names of the people behind and with them. There are so many in this group, and they're trying to kill our society and our lives. You remember Jacques Cousteau, the guy that was out in the ocean all the time? Jacques Cousteau, he believed in a 95% decrease in the population of the world. 95% decrease. One of these princes, I've got to quote one of the books, a prince of England said, if I can come back reincarnated, I want to come back as a germ so I can kill all these people. That's their attitude. And you think we're safe? You think the Fourth Amendment applies today? When they knock on your door and you show them the Fourth Amendment, what do you think they're going to do?
Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. Nancy Pelosi.
They're not going to say, oh, well, oh, I understand that. Well, I won't be there. Oh, no. Whoa. Thank you very much for showing me. No, they're not going to do that. They're going to say, get out of my way. Throw that book away. Here's the jab. Gah! That's what they're going to do.
Well,
you ready for it? Arizona passed a bill not too long ago. Arizona's really been in the news a lot. Arizona passed a bill not too long ago that said no confiscation of weapons will occur in our state. Good. I think that's excellent. What will happen when the first confiscator from the federal government shows up at Jim Jones' place in, Flagstaff, Arizona? What will happen? Who will be there to protect him and help him to not have his guns confiscated there in Flagstaff? Huh? What? Well, there was a law passed, so that's good. It's been done. You don't have to worry, Joe. You're going to have your weapons. They're not going to take them. Are you sure? Well, who's there to help Joe when they come to his door to take his gun? And that's the question. Arizonans need to be asking themselves, we have a law. Who's there to help us with the law? The police force? Not enough. Not enough. There's a few policemen everywhere. Oh, I don't know how many per person, but it's not many. You know, in a major city, they might have 10 or, in a minor city, they might have 5 or 6, 7 maybe. In a city, population 40,000, might have 5 or 6. Here come the confiscators. What can 5 or 6 guys do against it? We already saw in many places that the police force cannot handle the rioters. They did everything they could. They couldn't handle it, couldn't stop it. All they could do is contain it a little bit. That's all they could do. Seattle guys still got 6 blocks under their control and outside of the control of the state of Washington. What do you think? You think we have enough to protect ourselves? Is Joe's gun going to be confiscated there in Flagstaff because they have a law preventing it? Folks, wake up. Now, this stuff they're talking about, when they come to give you the jab, you have anybody to protect you? Now we're not talking to Arizona. We're talking the United States. That's what we're talking. Do you have anybody to help you? Anybody at all? And I'm going to say, no, you do not. The purpose of this particular amendment, which everybody quotes all the time, and they don't even understand what it says. A well-regulated militia is necessary for the security of a free state. The minute somebody steps in your state with a jab, is there a well-regulated militia to keep him out? That's what it says. Well-regulated militia is necessary for the security of Arizona, Idaho, Montana. I'm not going to say California. They don't care. Folks, a well-regulated militia is necessary. You don't even have one, so when they show up, they're going to do what they want. And they don't even need a very big force because you don't have any force. None at all. Now, I've heard of a few places that have something. I've been talking about militias for 2 years, and maybe we have 3 fledgling organizations, maybe. We have 330 million people, minus the bad places. minus those. We have 330 minus those. How many militia are out there to defend the security of your state? You have a geographical boundary. Kansas has a geographical boundary. That's their sovereign area. Okay? Who keeps their borders safe from a rogue government? And we have a rogue government today. It's the roguest, if that's a true word, it's the roguest government we've ever had. Even Roosevelt was a rogue government, but good grief, Franklin, okay? But good grief, look what we have today. We are violating, the Constitution, we have it. It's right here. I'm trying to show it to you, but I can't do it very well. There we go. There we have a Constitution right there. But we don't have anybody using it in government, and we don't have anybody using it privately because you don't have any way to protect yourself. That's what that amendment was written for. That amendment wasn't written so you could hunt deer or go out and hunt partridge or whatever you want to do to hunt. Marksmanship. It wasn't written for that at all. That was the normal daily activity of the people who wrote these things. They all had guns to do whatever they wanted with. This was written to have guns to protect yourself against the government. Remember the Declaration of Independence. If a government takes away your inalienable rights, you have a right or a responsibility to alter or abolish it. They did it with weapons. I'm talking about militia. That's weapons also. But there's more than that. You can do it without weapons. You can save your state if you just get off your... It starts with a B or an A. If you just get off your... And do something to have a protection. Get your legislator fixed. And you're not going to fix it with DNR guys. Okay? They ain't going to do it. How many times do I have to say that? I've been saying that for 2 years. They're not going to change any. Oh, well, I had a guy tell me this week. Well, I know what I'll do. I'll get together with a group of people and we'll do this. What group? Oh, I don't know, 5 or 6 people, maybe 10, 20. And we'll do this. Well, join a group that already exists that's trying to do this. Folks, I've been talking about joining the Constitution Party on this program right here, Hagman program, for a year. And the membership of the Constitution Party still stands at 115,000 to 120,000. Therefore, we haven't swelled the ranks at all. None of these people that are listening, I can't say that. Some have. I've even had people call me and say they're doing it. But folks, until you do it, it won't happen. You do it. Every one of you people who are in this audience, I don't know what the number is, 120? Every one of you take a paper, piece of paper from the Secretary of State on your state and check the box Constitution Party and get out of the DNR parties and take away their power. And unless you do that, you don't have any protection short of guns. I'd like to see political protection. It's in the Constitution. It's right here. The state can nullify anything from the federal government, anything at all. State can do it. But the legislatures of the current states aren't going to do it. Just a few places. Arizona nullified confiscation of weapons. The Dakotas have nullified a few things, yeah. In the past, Montana nullified the REAL ID, but guess what? It's here anyway. So the nullification didn't work at all because nobody paid attention to the sneaking around the end run. Folks, I'm sorry. You're not listening. You're not listening. If you were listening, you'd do something. If you were listening, you'd do something. That clip we just saw is something that's coming down the pike. It started with the N1 flu thing that happened a few years ago, but it didn't happen enough. Enough people were, they didn't really have all the Google Maps, all the stuff to find every house, every person, everything. Today, they can look at your backyard on Google. You can look at your backyard and your neighbors. Now, it's not current, it's history, but it's still there. So they know every house. They can check out every house and make sure every house is taken care of. They've already got it mapped out. And what are you doing? Sitting in front of the TV watching the football game or some soap opera or some, I don't know, show at night on some supposed entertainment that comes across the channels in the evening. But you're not taking care of your lives and your freedom. What do you think the people in 1776 did? Let's think of 1775. And we have a poem written by Longfellow. 15th of April in 75, and not a man is alive to remember the time and the date of the year, the written midnight ride of Paul Revere. Now read that. What was he doing? He was proclaiming the British were coming. What was happening? They were coming to confiscate the guns in Concord. That's what they were doing. Well, Concord had a militia. And the militias of all the people along the march, all the way from Boston to Concord, all gathered. They had a militia. They had defense. And no British soldier put a foot in Concord. They got as far as the bridge that went over the on the way to Concord. They didn't get beyond the bridge. Why? Because there was a militia that said, you ain't coming. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. They didn't have a militia. They had some active guys who wanted to do something. They find they're a mob with guns. There was no militia, but they still got the job done because they stood there and said, you ain't coming. And the folks didn't come. But not many people did that. Look at all the stuff that's happened. And it's still happening. Oh, folks, the only reason there aren't riots in the streets now and buildings being burned down and all that kind of stuff is because we're putting up with what the fraud in the White House is doing. If we weren't putting up with that, then there'd be riots. Oh, yes, there would be. There would be. They're down. They've been quelled. They've been stopped. Because the guys who want them don't need them right now because we're running right along merrily to do whatever they want. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know how many people asked for the information about the mask? Four.
Really?
Four. Not tough to count. Wasn't tough to count. Two on the first day, one another one, and one yesterday.
Now, when you say information on the mask, just so people, in case you've forgotten, Richard Proctor has, go ahead, what do you have for people?
I'll just be a little bit detailed. You can see it all. I have a placer gold mine, okay? Me and my son-in-law, we have a placer gold mine. When you're doing placer gold, you have to classify the dirt so you can find the gold. And you do it in the water, you classify it with water. When you do it in dirt, you classify it with screens. We have 100 mesh screen, 200 mesh screen to classify the dirt so we can work with the dirt. We crush the rocks, classify the rock dirt. Okay? We find gold. All right. Now, a 100 mesh screen. I have one in my home. I could go walk in the other room, bring it here, and put it on the screen if you wanted to see it. 100 mesh screen. 100 mesh screen I can hold up and I can read through it pretty well. Not really great, but I can read through it. How many microns go through a hundred, are there in a 100 mesh screen? 150 microns side to, from each square to square. You know, 150 microns square. That's how wide the screen is. Square. It's 150 microns. How many microns does a germ have? One. How many does a virus have? 0.01. You understand what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So, if you want this information, and this is easy to pass to others. I mean, it's good to pass to others.
Yeah. Copy it. Give it to anybody you want.
Richard Proctor.
I'm looking for an item. It should be here on my desk.
All right.
I want to mention something.
Okay.
I just talked about microns. Okay. I just talked about microns. Uh-huh. Let me mention something else that people really don't know. Here it is, right here. I just said 150 microns goes through I just said there's in a 100 mesh screen, there are 150 microns. They can pass, assess the size of it. They go down to microns. You could get, if you had 3,200 mesh screen, and it still only stops a micron of something that's five big. It's impossible to make the screen because the wires are too big. Now, is there something smaller than a micron? Yeah, it is. It's called a nanometer, a picometer, femtometer. Do you know how small a femtometer is? 14 zeros after the decimal point. Now, I know it can be seen through a microscope if you have a big enough one, but can we build anything that would be small enough to get that? No. Watch your movies. They don't have screens to protect them when they go into those category five places. They have big tubes, and they're sucking dirt. They're sucking air from out there. They're not doing a screen. Mm-hmm. And they're working with microns, not picograms or whatever that's called. I decided that I was going to do something called doggrams and catgrams and mousegrams. Oh, meters, I mean. Picos they got. Tentos they got. I'm going to have a dog meter and a cat meter and a mouse meter. And the dog meter will have 18 zeros behind the disc. And the cat meter will have 21. And the mouse meter will have 24. And that's how deep we're going to go. We're going to stop everything. And if I was a physicist with a few letters behind my name, people would believe it because it can't be measured. If you can't measure a scientific item, it doesn't exist. Anyway, folks, that's what I'm talking about. That's what the mass thing's all about. Get it. Look at it. I didn't do everything that I just did on this. I do stuff, but I don't tell you everything I do because I don't have time.
I think, you know, people are waking up. I'll say that. But I think anything we can do to push the unwoke, or now that's a bad term, the people who are still like unsure of how to handle situations. That's good. Email Richard Proctor at provisinstitute.com. Email is on his website and ask for that handout. It's a good thing. I had a discussion with somebody about masks the other day. You know, people think, hey, I've got the shot, you know, I've got a mask, I'm everything's fine. I nothing can touch me. Yeah, right.
Everybody looks at the physicians who wear masks in surgery.
Yeah.
That's not to keep any germs out. That's not to keep any germs from the patient or from the physician. It's to keep spit and sweat out.
Yep.
But the mask isn't small enough.
And blood and guts from coming in. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those things can be stopped. It's small enough. You know, they're bigger than 50 microns. No sweat. Okay. I mean, 150 microns. That's fine. It'll stop that. But it won't stop any germ or any virus, any germ regular or virus germ will not stop it. The illustration of a chain link fence and a mosquito. A guy's putting up a chain link fence. It's a picture on the website. I see it all the time. Sure. And that's there to stop mosquitoes from getting in his yard. Well, didn't one of these wise government officials say we better wear two masks? And one
two,
guy,
two or more,
one
yeah.
guy said two might protect you, but what will five do? Okay, we're going to wear more masks to protect us better. Yes, every mask has the same size filter, the same size screen, the same size square. So 38 microns, which is probably the smallest they can do, 38 micron size. Okay, a 1 micron mosquito just going to fly merrily for the first one and the second one and the third one and the fourth one and the fifth one and the 100th one because all the screens are the same size. It won't change anything. Screens are all the same size.
Well,
you know these flu germs don't drop for 27 feet. They're so light. Oh, yeah, we have a 6 foot and a 3 foot limit. Oh, yeah, 6 foot away, we're okay. Ah. I watched the young lady, wouldn't stand near anybody. I was just sitting in the chair, watched the young lady, wouldn't stand near anybody. She kept walking away while she was trying to talk to them because she didn't want to get any closer than 6 feet. Maybe I'll get a sick kid, oh my. Well, she wouldn't do it. But the virus that she's trying to get away from floats for 27 feet. She should have been in the hallway down the way. yelling.
Just
talk.
Just stay at home.
Yes. Yeah, you got to stay. That's where you're safe, at home. Oh, no, 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 no. The screens and stuff you have from outside still get in. Nothing keeps anything. So if there's something in the air, well, it must be because the people are wearing masks outside. So there must be something in the air they're protecting themselves from. I don't know what, but if it is, they better have some masks around their home. 100 of them, 1,000 of them. And it won't do any good at all because nobody can make a mask or anything big enough to keep those things small enough to keep those things out. So you're just following. So you know why we have vaccine today? Because we were stupid enough to tell the power that we were willing to wear a mask.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's why we have them. That's why we have a vaccine that's killing people faster than any vaccine we've ever had. This thing in 6 weeks kills more people than a decade of all the other immunizations. Okay, so we got the killer drug because we told them we were willing to have it because we wore a mask. We're wearing a mask, that tells them we're willing. Now we're taking shots, that tells us we're willing for the next step.
Yeah, it's just a mask. It's just for 14 days. It's just this, it's just that. But people understand it's incremental genocide
genocide. It's incremental genocide. That's what 95% killing 95% of the population is genocide.
Yep.
And that's there. Why do you think they want to go door to door to give the jabs? Too many people are resisting. So we'll get you. We'll come and jab you. Aha. And you have a militia to protect you from these people who are going to come and drag and jab you, don't you? Oh no.
Well, see,
I don't.
And I love, and folks, you people, I get emails. Well, why do you keep talking about militias? Because we need a friggin' militia. We need militias to stop this. And if we don't have militias, you know what we're going to have? We're going to have mobs and bodies stacked up like cordwood. And some of them might be your relatives, your friends, your family. But
and you.
And you. Thank you.
Yeah, we say we honor the Constitution. We're going to read the Constitution. We say that. We want to know the Constitution. People want to know the Constitution. And I'm for the Second Amendment. They always say that. Everybody would have a Second Amendment society. Second Amendment constitutional county. Excellent. So Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia is necessary for the freedom of your state. Oh, that means that county is, since it's a Second Amendment county, should have a militia. That's what that means because they believe in the Second Amendment. They don't. I've got a group of people here in Kaysville, significant group. It's about 50 or 60 strong. I know about it because the guy organized came to see me because he wanted some of my stuff influenced to do it. Okay. I said, well, guys, let's form a militia. Oh, no, we're not going to form a militia. Have to put our name on something. We're not going to do that. So we don't have a militia. We have 60 guys that are a mob with guns. And if they do anything, they'll be arrested and thrown in jail legally. That's it, guys. Those guys in Coeur d'Alene, if they shot anybody, they'd all be wearing stripes today, maybe for their lives.
And what about, Dr. Proctor, what about the 450-some-odd people that are still incarcerated from January 6th that were just simply, they didn't do a damn thing, and yet no one, they don't have due process, they're not given, no one's talking about those people. No one. What about those people? Where are their rights?
That's right. They don't have any rights, and neither do you.
Yeah.
Not you, Doug, not me, because I've got rights because I'm going to defend them. I may not survive defending them, but I'm going to.
And you know what? I'm going to help you defend them, and I know you'd help me defend them, and we're going to help others defend them. That's what you're listening to this and watching this program for, and that's why you've got to go to provostinstitute.com. Seriously, get the Liberty Series. Get all of the books you can from Dr. Richard Proctor. provostinstitute.com, link in the program description box. But this is why we've got to fight. And, you know, it's coming fast, Dr. Proctor. I can feel it. And, you know, look, I was reading one of the discussion boards. Message boards saying, well, you know, they come to my house, they're going to get lead. You know, they might come with a stainless steel needle, but they're going to get lead back. A lot of big talkers, a lot of big talkers. I wonder how many are actually going to do that. Are we going to have a problem? Are we going to have a problem they come door to door? I'll tell you what. I don't know.
It's really very difficult when you've got a gun, you know, the guy in your eyes that you're going to shoot him. That's very difficult.
Yeah.
I got to tell you a story. Okay, I got to tell you a story. I was in Brazil. I was living out in the Brazil, hinterlands of Brazil. Now, hinterland means there's no cars, there's nothing, no phone, no electric. Hinterlands of Brazil is hinterlands, okay? Well, we went partridge hunting. We did have a rifle. We went partridge hunting. And I actually held the gun, and I saw a partridge, and I shot. The night I was so what if I'd hit that poor little bird? I couldn't sleep. I might have killed that bird. Oh, no. You think I could point a gun to somebody and pull a trigger? That's why I joined the Air Force and became an officer in the hospital. Never had to pull the trigger. Ha-ha! Ha-ha! They gave me a weapon once that I had to carry, but I knew full well that hope nobody comes along because I'll have a little trouble using it.
That's because you've got a conscience, though. See, and people talk big, and I can attest to this. If you have a gun and you point it at someone, you damn well better. First of all, today in today's world, you damn well better pull the trigger and have the righteous backing to do so. But I'll tell you this: I know very few people. In fact, I don't know anyone who can actually pull a trigger on someone and actually take a life and not have them be bothered by that.
Yeah. What about people who hit somebody with a car? Complete accident. They can hardly stand it. What happened? The person dies. They're plagued for life. You're going to take a gun and shoot the person rather than a car by accident? Folks, don't think about these things. But you could do it politically if you just join the Constitution Party. Because you can get enough power to get the legislature fixed. But you can't do it politically if you don't get off your DNA and do something.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, guys, let's talk about something else.
Go ahead. It's your floor. You know what? Before I'm going to give you the entire rest of the show, I just want to hit this, take care of this business right now.
Yes, please do.
And then the floor is yours. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. I want to thank them and all of the people who pick us up. We're on Roku. We're on just every platform you can think of. If you can't find us, I don't know. Then you're not looking. All right. I also want to thank our corporate sponsors. You know, we talk about all this stuff. And one of the things that we have to do, if you think things are happening, you better be prepared. Okay. Now, I can't come to your house and motivate you, to get prepared for what is to come. But one of the things I can do is tell you about how you can prepare, especially in your finances. Okay. Now, here's what I like to save money. My wife likes to save money. I like to save money. I don't like to spend money unnecessarily. It's a fact. And this is sometimes things just make sense. So when you look at your credit card statements that you get, and I'm sure everyone's got a credit card, or at least everyone, 1, 2, 3, 4 credit cards, you know, store card, Home Depot, whatever. And you start looking at the annual percentage rates and you start thinking, my goodness, take a look at what you're paying in interest. Okay. We did that because, well, you saw the picture of the equipment, right? That costs money. But if you extend it over time, but anyway, you need to be able to reduce your debt. Well, how do I do that? Refinancing your credit card balances can lower your interest rate and save you money. And you don't have to be a financial expert to do it. I love this, folks. LightStream. Remember that. Commit that to memory. There it is on the screen. You know, right now you can get a credit card consolidation loan from my friends at LightStream with a rate as low as, you ready for this? Listen, 5.93% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. It's lower than the average credit card rate interest of over 19% APR. That means you could save thousands of dollars in interest over. And I'll tell you what, I've seen people, we've done it. We've consolidated. We've saved money. My wife's niece, my goodness, close to just hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month in payments that would have gone to interest that she saved. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees. Plus, you can get your money in the bank account as soon as the same day you apply. So here is exactly what you have to do. Just for my listeners only, you get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, there are two N's on Hagman. In fact, let me spell this out for you. It's lightstream.com/Hagman. That's HAGMANN. Subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.93% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. And again, as I always say, you will thank me later. And I got a couple of emails from listeners who actually said, hey, thanks. We saved a lot of money. And, again, sometimes it makes sense to do this. And, we do. And I'm going to thank the fine folks at Lightstream for their kind offer to the Hagman Report audience. All right. Richard Proctor is the guest. ProvisInstitute.com. That is the website. It's linked in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. And don't make me come out there and have you, make you bookmark it. Okay. You bookmark that website. Get the book. Get his book, Saving the Constitution, Liberty Series, the whole nine yards. And you know what? You can also, and this is important, he's got a weekly podcast, Saving the Constitution on Rumble. Folks, please do yourself a favor. You only have 24 hours a day. You got to sleep sometime. You got to, you know, but listen to his teachings on Rumble, the Saving the Constitution series. You will get more out of that 1 hour than my babbling. Okay, so which is, I shouldn't say that. You'll get more out of that 1 hour than a week in school. I can guarantee you that.
So that you can for sure. Yeah, a week in school.
A month right, in school. Absolutely. I think your last one. And it was just absolute. I went back and listened to the one about the Supreme Court again.
You
know what, folks, Saving the Constitution, please bookmark that. Go ahead, sir. The rest of the time, it's yours.
I want to continue your ad for a moment.
Okay.
I did go to Lightstream.
Okay.
But I don't have any debt.
Okay.
So I didn't save any money. But I want to tell you what. I went there and applied for, and I got a non-secured loan for $30,000. Okay. Now I didn't get the 5.9 that you're talking about in interest, but that doesn't matter because it's hard to get a non-secured loan at $30,000. Yeah. See, I'm building an addition so all of my house can look like this background does, you see. I'm building one. It costs a little bit of money. So I borrowed for $30,000 from them. Didn't take very long to do it. No security on it. They loaned it to me. I have to pay it back and I understand that. I have to pay the interest and I understand that. I didn't save any money because I don't have any debt. Except the house, and that doesn't count. Okay. Anyway, so folks, let's move on to some other subjects. We just had an excellent celebration of the 4th of July. Outstanding. It's so nice. We had 3 days. Yeah. We had Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We had barbecues, and we did all these things, and we celebrated what? Independence Day. Oh, yeah. Yeah, independence. That was 1776. That was the day the Declaration of Independence was signed officially. Oh, yes, that's it. Independence from England. Oh, that's nice. We all celebrated. But I'm going to ask you this question. Now, I spend an hour on this subject on the podcast, this week's, the 11th podcast. I spend an hour on this very subject, but I'll just drop a few things here. Are we celebrating independence, ours, or those of 1788? I picked that date because that's the date the Constitution was ratified. So that's the date when all of the constitutional stuff came into law. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Are we celebrating 1776 for them or for us? Are we going out and raising the flag and firing off all the fireworks for them or for us? Are we doing it for their independence, or are we doing it because we have independence or for our independence? I'd like you to do
explain
something.
That. Explain that if you don't mind.
Yep. Okay. Well, yeah. They had, on 1788, they had a constitution ratified with it. Supreme law of the land was absolutely precise. That perfect document would keep the nation free. Period. It would keep us free from anybody. Keep us free from bad presidents, keep us free from bad congressmen, keep us free from other states. It would keep us free and allow us to prosper. It would control a government, so we'd have no rogue government. That's 1788. We'd have no problems with government today, no problems with elections. We'd have no problems with anything. 1788. Okay. What happened in 1790? They did a census. And immediately they violated the Constitution. Instead of having the right number of representatives, they had, well, I'll tell you the number. I've got it right here in front of me. Instead of having 131 representatives, which is what the Constitution called for, 1790, they had 69. So there's the first time we lost freedom. Oh, yes, that's the first time. It's not the only. By the way, that's in Chapter 6, on Volume 6, that whole chart. Okay, so now they were free except for they didn't have the right number of representatives. 1791, Congress decided to have a central bank. They didn't call it that. They called it the First Bank of the United States. Purpose, enrich England. Take money away from us, give it to England. Are we free? Oh, that's the second freedom gone. We're not as free in 1791 as we were in 1788. You get the picture? 1796. Just an interesting jump here. We had a treaty with England. One of our American citizens had ground that the English government wanted because of that treaty in England that we had, that treaty we had with England. You know, Revolutionary War treaty. The Supreme Court said, oh, yeah, that land is yours. Took it away from him and gave it to England. What? That's the freedom. We had a case, New London case. I remember the whole name. It was in 2005. At that case, they decided any government could take any land from any person for any purpose. Supreme Court did that. It's in their decision, okay? How free are we? That's what I mean. Are we celebrating our freedom, or are we celebrating their freedom?
Thank you for that.
Take the Declaration of Independence, guys. I want you to take the deck. Everybody take it and read. Not this second. Take it and read it. What I want you to read are the things that we complained about, you know, all the lines, all the sentences underneath the first couple of paragraphs. All the sentences that say, this is why we're revolting against you guys. This and this and this and this and this and this and this. Now, what I want you to do, because I want you to take each one of those things, write it down as it happens, and then I want you to look at our government and see if we are free of that problem or if we have the same problem. I think there's about 18 or 20 instances there. Go ahead, do that. Get your Declaration of Independence out. Carefully look at the complaints against England. They're in the body going towards the end. Carefully look at those points. And now I want you to look at the federal government of today, this very day, and tell me if we have the same problem or not. And if we have the same problem, why aren't we revolting about it? We're revolting against it. And if we revolt against it the way they do, we're going to have slaughter. We're going to kill people. They're going to be killed. It'd be very bad. But if we use the Constitution that we have, okay, if we use that, Constitution, we can do it politically. How? Because Article 6 says senators and representatives, all executives, all judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath to support the Constitution. So you should be cleaning house of every representative or senator in your state legislature that's not supporting this Constitution. And support means nullify any law they do that's against the Constitution. And support means have a militia, or consider having a militia to defend ourselves so we can have a free state. You know, if you look at the Constitution itself, you're going to find about, 20 lines from the last paragraph in Article 6, the beginning of it, to the first paragraph in the Second Amendment, which is about 8 more. So about 28 lines. If you would look at your Constitution just straight out, and you read that line that says your legislature guys are responsible for a free state, and then you go down and read the rest, see how Article 7, read that, and then you read Amendment 1, and then you read Amendment 2, and it says a well-regulated militia is necessary for the security of a free state, and that militia is a part of Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 15 and 16. Our militia is supposed to be, we're supposed to have one, and that says right here, the guys in your legislature are going to swear an oath to support the Constitution, which means swear an oath to have a militia, which means swear an oath to have protection so you can have a free state by the time you get to the first line of the Second Amendment. Guys, you use politics to clean out your legislature so you can have a legislature that's honoring the Constitution. And it's not very hard to know, to know whether they're honoring it or not. Okay, Arizona honoring it by nullifying confiscate the weapons. That's an honor. That's the thing they're supposed to do. Excellent. Montana, some of the other states nullified the REAL ID back in 2006, which was going to take away your freedoms, give you papers that you had to present to travel. Okay, they nullified that. And so the government backed off and didn't do it. More states than one. But the government backed off and didn't do it until recently when they did it again, and this time nobody cared. The point I'm making is your legislative body has power, but they don't have any power if they don't use it. You ever heard the sentence, a man that can't read is no worse off than the man who can that doesn't? Or the other way around, a man who can read is no better off than a man who can't? That's the same way. That's the same thing both ways. In other words, you can't read. You can't read. You don't know the information. You can't read the Constitution. If you can read and you don't, you're no better off than the guy who couldn't. You're in the same boat. You're both in the same boat. Don't laugh at him. He can't read. You don't read. Same thing. Okay? Same thing. Folks, that's what we're talking about. Should you celebrate your freedom or their freedom? You ever heard about the nose and the tent flap? I've run into people who haven't. Let me just mention this. Nose and the tent flap. The Arab was on his way down out the street. Okay. Down in the desert. Arab with his camel. Sandstorm coming. The Arab gets out. Wrecks a tent. Sandstorm comes. Arab's comfortable in the tent. Camel's outside. I'm uncomfortable. Sticks his nose. The Arab says, go ahead. Sticks his face. The Arab says, go ahead. Sticks his head. The Arab says, goes ahead. And very, very soon, the camel's in the tent. The Arab's outside. That's nose in the tent flap. Now, 1788, we were snug in the tent. In 2021, in July 4th, when we celebrated it, are we in the tent, snug, or outside the tent when the camel's inside the tent? That's the story. Find it. The particular episode that really goes through this in detail, an hour and 17 minutes long, it's the longest I've done, hour and 17 minutes, you can listen to it in pieces, okay? Or you can listen to it anyway. You can replay it and replay things you do. Very important, tell your friends. This particular one talks about where our freedoms went from 1788, and it's in detail. And I don't yell and scream all the time, just once in a while. Tell your friends. You listen to it. Tell your friends. It's easily found. You go to provisinstitute.com and you've got all that information because Doug gave it to you. Select podcast, and then select Rumble, and every episode shows right in front of you. You can read anyone you want. There are 11. But the one I'm emphasizing is the one that we celebrated the 4th of July about. Episode 11. It's this week's. I watched the number of views. I watched to see how many people read the episode. Any one of them. We're up to over 1,000 views of our, of my episodes. That's very good. Why aren't we at 10, 15, 20, 30, 40,000? Folks, this one is crucial to your freedom because you'll understand better what's happened to your freedom. This is crucial. Very important. Episode 11, provostinstitute.com, select podcast, select Rumble, and there's number 11 right at the top. Choose it. Do it.
I think maybe, just maybe, that's the best one you've done. And there it is on your screen, folks. There it is. You see that little button covering... almost well placed, covering Dr. Proctor's mouth. It's a play button. Click that and just listen. And you know what? You're probably gonna have to do it two or three times, to really understand, to really soak in that information.
Now, what I want to mention, Doug, is right there at the top, published July the 6th, 2021, 14 views. Now, I'm sure that Doug got that right now today. So that went on yesterday. It went on yesterday. We've had 14 people look at it.
Right.
Good. Why hadn't we had 400?
You know.
Why didn't we have 4,000? 14. See, I watched these. I know how many people look at them. I don't know how many individual people are because if a person looks at it twice, that counts two times. And if the same person listens to all of them, then it gives him 11 shots. And so it's only one person. So I don't know how many people. But I know how many times it was looked at.
Yep. And about this, okay, folks, they are censoring. The censorship is so bad. Dr. Proctor, the censorship is so bad. They want to keep this, the golden information, away from you. Why do you think it's 14 views and not 1,400 views? Because do a Google search on this. Okay, do a search on the, you know, major search engines. Good luck with that. You'll come out with some, I'm not going to say the word. BS, worthless crud that's taking our constitution, our country, our culture, our nation, our values, and assailing them instead of getting the, this is where it's at, folks. I'm telling you, trust me on this. Trust me on this. Next time I look at that, I want to see 1,400 views. I really do.
Yeah, it's time. It's time we had a number. It's time we had those big numbers. It doesn't cost anything, guys, but an hour of your time. It may save your freedoms.
You know, I listen to you when I'm traveling in my car, and I find that it's a habit of mine. Okay, so I download, put it on a thumb drive. Plug it into the car because my wife showed me how to do that. I didn't know you could do that. And so folks, do that, please. And you'll have it forever.
So. Yeah, and that's important, have it forever, because the day will come when these will be erased.
Yep.
So unless you have them, you don't have them.
That's right.
Unless you, and even that way, you've got to have electricity. You've got to have that kind of stuff. And sometimes people are saving their things on the cloud, and that's scary as the dickens. How thick are clouds? Okay, look at the clouds in the sky. Do they go away? Oh yeah. Planes fly through clouds. Is that where your information is being kept? Think about that for a moment. The best thing to do, though, if you want to avoid all this stuff, the clouds and everything, is get the books. I don't write the books for me. I know what's in them. I don't need one. I know what's there. I may not know what page it's on, but I know what's there. I wrote them. I want you to have. I wrote them for you. They're for you. They're not for me. And I priced them so low that you can get it cheaper than going to the restaurant tomorrow night.
Yeah. And I thank you for making this information available. I know it sounds trite and it sounds, You know, like, and I get emails saying, well, you, all the time, you're pushing books. You're damn right I'm pushing books because, yeah. You know what? I'm so sick and tired of these, people get their news in sound bites or character limits, you know, like 240 limited characters or 400, whatever it is. Expand your horizons. Start reading. Folks, please, your future, and you know what, if you're older and think, well, I don't have that, you know, much longer, I'm going to be off this earth. Your children, think of your children and think of their children. But doggone it, you know, please, just do it. Go ahead, sir.
Now, you've brought something to my attention, Doug. I think this is very well. People reading the first paragraph, journalists write the first paragraph so you have all the information because they know you won't read on through. Now, I'm going to go to the amendment article. It's Article 5 in the Constitution. Any of you can look it up anytime you want. It's in the book. It's everywhere. Article 5. The first 50 words, 60, let's just say lines. The first five or six lines tell you a little bit. And if you stop there and you don't go to the last line of the article or the newspaper article you're reading or anything you're reading, if you don't get clear to the last line, you will miss something that's very important. And in this case, you miss the one that says the 17th Amendment is null and void because it took the senators away from the House and violated this, away from the states and violated this Constitution. Violated it. Not just maybe, it violated it. The last line says, no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. That's the last line. And if you don't get that far, you've missed one of the major points of that article. The last line. Over and over and over, the last line. I'm going to go to articles. I'm going to go to the third one. Supreme Court Justice. Is there a term limit for the Supreme Court? Do they stay for life? Yes, they do. Does the Constitution say they should? No, it does not. The last line, Article 3, paragraph, Section 1, Paragraph 1, the last line says, shall not be diminished during their continuance in office. That tells you that they will not continue forever because they're going to, a continuance means they're going to stop. So it's not, that line doesn't, although that's the line they used, it doesn't say they're a life cause. It doesn't say that. It says their compensation won't be lessened until during the time they're in the office. And you know very well that everybody's not in an office all the time. That's what that means. The time they're in the office. But it's the last line again. It's the last line again. Let me read you another last line. Oh, this is fun. The last line. Now we're in Article 3, Section 1, Section 2, Paragraph 2. The last line says the Supreme Court can't do anything. It says, let's see, with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. The last line again. The last line says Congress controls what the Supreme Court can do. I'll bet you can't find a congressman that knows that last line. I'll bet you can't. Last line says they control the Supreme Court. They can't talk about homosexuality unless they let them. And when they passed that decision, when they did that decision, every state in the United States and the federal government itself had laws against homosexual marriages, things like that. And here you have it. In the last line, the Congress could say, stop it. You can't look at that. Nullify it. Throw it out. And that decision's gone. But they don't know they have a last line. Last lines, they're crucial. And you know what? Many, many people don't read the last lines of many paragraphs. I just showed you three last lines that were crucial in the Constitution. Read the whole article. There's always things buried inside it. Oh, oftentimes you get any article anywhere. You start reading at the top, you say, listen up, you leave it. And right in the middle, it's going to have an exception that you missed because you didn't know it was there because you didn't read far enough. There's all kinds, the author is writing all kinds of detail down through the article. At the beginning, he just says the summary so he can get your attention because he knows you're not going to read beyond the summary. So that's what he does. But in the body of it, he explains all of that and he goes into detail about it and he explains why that is what it is. You're missing all that because you don't read the whole article. That's a norm. That's a norm. There's another interesting norm also. This isn't germane to what we're talking about, really, but it is. Reader's Digest writes for about the, eighth grade. Because people can't read beyond eighth grade. Mm-hmm. Now, what is that as a slap in the face? They know that people won't understand it very well if it's above eighth grade level. So they write to the eighth grade level. Did you know I was told to refine my book to take it down to the eighth grade level so that people would understand it? So I did that with the school books. Constitution, if you keep it, and Easily Understood Economics. We took it as best we could so that the school kids could read it and understand it. But I didn't change the other books. I didn't change the Liberty series. I wrote that in a conversational mode so you can understand it while it's being written, but the words are still there. Anti-disestablishmentarianism isn't in the book, but it could be. Yep, could be. But I didn't write those words because I don't know any words over two syllables either. So, I can't. Guys, I just wanted to take the time today and talk about our celebration of the 4th of July. Oh, my.
You know, I thought, and this is going to sound contrived and stuff, but I thought about you on the 4th, okay? And when there was, my neighbor set off these huge fireworks, and I'm thinking, you know, do they even know? And for the 4th, I put up a flag at my home, and it was a combination of American flag and the Gadsden flag, okay? Because I just wanted to hack off my neighbors. Okay, my neighbors are flaming liberals. Some of them are flaming liberals. Not all of them. But I thought about you to the extent of where is our Constitution? You know, our not exactly what you said, whose freedom are we celebrating? Are we celebrating? But I thought about the Constitution, and I thought about our founding fathers. We're not them. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, you're. I all the time have a flag in my front yard, although it's not a flag like you're thinking of. It's the sign. I have two signs pointing in each direction. Constitution Party meets here.
Nice.
Nobody's taking them down, so I guess it's okay.
Is that something you bought, or do you make it?
No. It comes from the election when we run for office. We have those kind of signs up.
I got you.
And it has our symbol on it and all that kind of stuff. So that's how it comes about. That's why.
But what you're talking about is pretty profound. And folks, again, go to Saving the Constitution, go to Provost Institute, and you can find it that way. Saving the Constitution, podcast, but also his books. I'm just going to drive home. The Liberty Series really gives you the background. Saving the Constitution, of course, Bathroom Economics, all of that. We need to read not on an eighth grade level, but on an adult level. And we need this because we need to get, it's trite. We need to take our country back. Well, okay. Yeah, you and which army?
That's not trite.
I don't want it to sound trite. I mean, I'm dead not serious, man.
Absolutely crucial that we get our country back.
Yeah, I'm very serious about this.
And nobody but us are standing in the way of doing that. Us meaning the people.
Exactly.
We the people. There it is. The Constitution. We honor the Constitution. We the people. First three words. We the government. We the people.
Do you think, Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, do you think in your heart of hearts, I know we've got the, I know we've got the ability. Do we have the will? Do we have, go ahead.
I'm sorry. In my heart of hearts, I don't think we have the will, the courage, the guts, or the interest to do it.
That's what I thought.
I'm sorry. I don't think we do. I hope that you guys will prove me wrong. That's a good thing to do. Please, prove me wrong. But he asked me to bear right out how I think, and that's right out what I think. We do not have it. Why do you think I spend so much time talking about it? If I thought we had it, I wouldn't spend that time. People would already know it. They'd be reading the Constitution. They'd know these things. They'd know what's going on. They'd be paying attention. We wouldn't have any of the stuff we have today.
Yeah.
If we had paid attention as the people, we the people ratified this thing in 1788. If we'd paid attention to what's going on in 1790, we'd have ensured there were 131 representatives in Congress, not 69.
Mm.
We'd have ensured it. We were also immediately checked and saw that the Bank of England that showed up, it was called the First Bank of the United States. But if we were reading the Constitution in that time, we would have read Section 8, Paragraph 5, that says, regulate the value of the money. Coin the money, print the money, make the money, regulate the value of the money. That's Congress's responsibility. So we would have said, what do you mean, giving it to a private company that's run by Bank of England? Stop it. If we had read that, 1791 wouldn't have been violated either. You see? All those things. If we just knew them. If we just knew them. And I read three lines, last lines here a few minutes ago, and I'll bet you could take those last lines out on the street today. And nobody you talk to will know what you're talking about. And now we're going to even be a harder test. You're going to go to your state legislature. I'll bet none of them know the last lines either, and they've sworn to uphold them. And you can go to Congress. I'll bet none of them know those last three lines either, and they've also sworn. Now you can go to the Supreme Court. You're going to show them the Constitution. They're going to say, what's that? We've never seen that.
Hmm.
Go to a constitutional attorney. Go to one of those. Constitutional attorney. When did you read it? Show him talk about these lines. He won't know what you're talking about. He's never read it. It's rare that you'll find somebody who's ever read the Constitution. And it's rarer than Hensley that you'll find people that learned the last lines. I've had people that are professors of the economics program, eye to eye with me, say, I'm sorry, the Constitution program. They're experts in it. They try to teach it to children. They want to teach it to children. She came to me. Where does it say Congress controls the Supreme Court? Last line. Paragraph, section 2, paragraph 2. See? Last lines. A guy wrote me about Electoral College. I wrote and told him his article about Electoral College was wrong. He's teaching the Constitution. He has a whole course to teach the Constitution. So I wrote him back, said it's wrong. He said, what do you mean it's wrong? What's right? I wrote him about a 4-page document, email, sent it back to him. I don't know if he read it or not, but he didn't pay any attention. Never changed anything. There's a young lady called with the Liberty University. I found out about that from Patrick Timponi. I'm on his show sometimes, and he told me about a young lady that came on his show with the Liberty University, and she's right on the Constitution and doing stuff. Well, she's not. She said, in her discussion with him, that it's okay for the Supreme Court to do the constitutionality of the law. We have another time. I'm in a meeting back in Malad, Idaho. Bunch of nice guys. They have a Second Amendment sanctuary county. And are doing a militia. That's one other thing. They're trying to do a militia. They're good people. I went up there. Had to talk. We were in the same room together. All of us visited. There were about 40 people and me. And they said, well, what about this guy we had over here? What about this guy we had teaching us? And he said that the Fifth Amendment is constitutional. I'm not sorry. So the Federal Reserve is constitutional. And my response, well, that happened twice, too, by the way. It happened in one of my seminars, too. The guy said, it's constitutional. And my comment was, don't listen to anything else he says because that's not right.
Folks, scary.
I'm sorry. I'm not talking about lay of the land, a guy that's under the freeway here, living there. I'm not talking about people that are going to school today. I'm not talking about people that are, you know, old hat. I'm talking about people who should be experts in this in every case. And they don't know it. People don't know they don't know it because they claim they do. The last lines. Nobody knows the last lines. Nobody even understands the 16th Amendment. What's wrong with that? They don't understand that. Obviously, it was ratified and the Supreme Court said it was okay, so I guess it is. They don't understand that. They don't understand that. They look at me like I had bugs coming out of my ears when I say this last election in November was not held in any way, shape, or form. Not one word of the Constitution came forth in that election. Not one word was correct. And they look at me like I got snakes coming out of my ears. And I know a fellow who goes around teaching with very, very valid. And the Constitution Party had him at some of the stuff he was doing. And he goes around and he tells and tells and tells and tells. But what he was talking about electing the president was wrong. Completely wrong.
Speaking of that, if I can just impose upon you, we're awaiting the results of the Arizona forensic audit. We're seeing Pennsylvania beginning an audit. We're seeing other states present or engage in audits, forensic audits, not recounts. And I'm tired of these idiots out there, these morons who say, well, you know, they already had three recounts. We're not talking about that. We're talking about identifying fraudulent votes, okay? And my question to you, and I know I've asked this before, but is this going to amount to a hill of beans? Is this going to amount to anything? I mean, who's going to enforce it? Even if I'd like to think that we could get our elections back too. But go ahead.
You know, Doug, there's a possibility that something might come from. There's too many people doing it now. When Arizona did it by themselves, I said, "Well, there's no chance. Nothing will happen." Well, still may be that case. Nothing will happen. But with that many states, I'm going to ask specifically about Pennsylvania. You're right there, Doug. Are they really doing an audit, or are they just doing a sham pretending they're doing an audit?
No, actually, Doug Mastriano and others from Pennsylvania are looking, and I have to give them a lot of credit. There's a lot of heat from our moronic tyrant Governor Wolf. What a wolf he is. And there's a lot of pressure from the hot spots like Philadelphia, Montgomery County, Pittsburgh, for example, Allegheny County. There's a lot of problems. And by the way, Erie County, where I live, was where the postal carrier said, "Hey, look, I was told to backdate the ballots." Okay, look, I'm here. I've talked to these people. Project Veritas exposed this. Okay. The corruption is rampant. But anyway, yes, it's Pennsylvania. To answer your question, I don't want to, but to answer your question, this is a big deal in Pennsylvania. It will be.
Excellent. I'm sure glad. Pennsylvania is one of the major states.
Yes. Yes.
Arizona, major state. I mentioned this before in another show. I got a shall we say, a preview of what the results were going to be. Biden got a million. Trump got a million. But it was less than Biden, so Arizona went with Biden. The recount. Biden got a million, Trump got 2 million. 2 million.
Yeah.
Get the drift? What's gonna do now? I don't know. Have we got enough gumption? Gonna send it to the Supreme Court? Now I was told the Supreme Court, it did go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has said had a decision. Are you familiar with that, Doug? Did you know that happened this week?
The Supreme Court decision concerning
Arizona's audit.
The U.S. Supreme Court?
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. I missed that somehow.
Maybe perhaps the individual I'm talking to didn't know it either. But the bottom line, what he told me the decision was, said the state can do the election however they want. And that was the decision, pretending like that was important. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know what Supreme Court said that. I thought he did say U.S. Supreme Court, and that's what they said. Well, anyway, that's the kind of thing I would expect, though. And of course the Constitution says they can do anything they want, but it doesn't say they can cheat, steal, and lie. It just says they can conduct the election how they want, as long as it goes along with the federal stuff, like the day it's done and that kind of stuff.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I'm just looking here. Okay, this from 5 days ago, just to give people an idea, this is from NPR, but I just rolled the dice here. The Supreme Court deals a new blow to voting rights. Yeah, okay, my patoot. Upholding Arizona restrictions. Whatever that, you know, of course, anything you require an ID, that's restricting voting. You require, you know, honesty and integrity in elections. You're restricting the votes. But by God, if, you know, you require ID, never mind, a vax passport, that's okay. But yeah, the U.S. Supreme Court last week gutted most of what remains of the landmark Voting Rights Act. What a bunch of crap that is. But go ahead, sir. So that's what they were talking about, apparently.
You just said what I believe the Supreme Court would say.
Yeah.
See, that's what I believe. So it was the Supreme Court of the United States, and the Supreme Court of the United States didn't say, in that decision, didn't say one thing at all that had any merit or any bearing on what is really, really happened in the third, on November the 3rd. And that's the body that's supposed to know the Constitution better than anybody. They didn't even know the Constitution well enough to know that one of their most important responsibilities, original jurisdiction, was to handle arguments contesting between two states. And when Texas, when that thing from Texas got to the Supreme Court, they said, no, you don't have standing, won't do it. Not true. So they backed away, wouldn't even do it. The Supreme Court is not a court. Court implies justice.
And that I learned from your, and again, I gotta say this, I learned about the Supreme Court more than I knew, I thought I knew about the Supreme Court, but I didn't. And I went, if you go to Saving the Constitution on Rumble, go to ProvisaInstitute.com, click on the podcast and listen to that episode. I think it's 7, 8, 9, I don't know.
I don't remember. I have to look at them now.
But anyway,
yeah.
I learned a lot from that. And people would be surprised to hear that, you know?
Get out your volume 4 and read the first section. Talks about the Supreme Court and what they've done to us. From the day one, back in 1803, 1796 is included, from that day forward to, you could go ad infinitum to it because that's the same thing they're going to do as a pattern. I picked 57 cases and I showed you what they're doing to us in those 57 cases. But there are many more. There were violations of just 57. Many, many, many more. But some of them that really stick out. Some of them really. Butler versus United States, 1936.
You know, one more thing, and this is kind of off the tangent. I was watching, again, I watch a lot of conservative, or I watch a lot of news when I'm in my office and I'm doing things. It's on in the background. And I caught the promotion, sadly, by War Room Steve Bannon about the Convention of States. Okay, he had a representative on about the Convention of States, and you might want to reinforce the fact that what they're talking about is not good for the country. Although conservatives think it is, I think CPAC might even think it is. I can't remember. CPAC is off the rails with respect to the jab, but anyway, so.
You know, guys, these people are not reading the Constitution at all. There is no such thing as a Constitution of States. It does not exist. What does exist is a Convention of States. I'm sorry. A Convention of States in Article 5 does not exist. I'm sorry. It's not there. There's a convention in the states. That's there, but not of the states. Of the states is a constitutional convention. And that's the second mode of amending the Constitution. And it's not used, by the way. Hasn't been used. We've never had to have a constitutional convention on any amendment we have ever had since the Bill of Rights happened. Not one time have we had a constitutional convention since the Bill of Rights. Actually, not since Philadelphia, of course, it did the gavel, but the Bill of Rights did go back to that, those guys and all that kind of stuff. Brigham rule. The bottom line I'm saying is nobody reads Article 5 at all. Congress, when two-thirds of the House shall be necessary, of both houses, they can do an amendment and they can send it to the states for ratification. And they do that. That's okay. Or, if the legislatures apply, or two-thirds of the legislatures shall call, shall ask for a convention, they'll have one. We've never, ever done it. And the next one that nobody will admit to in the Supreme Court in Sprague versus United States in 1931 omitted the comma and destroyed this one. It says right here, or by conventions in three-fourths thereof, which means all the states. So there's three ways to amend it. Two-thirds of Congress guys do it and the states ratify it. The states could ask for a constitutional convention to be held, and that's one. And the states in their own state can have conventions, and they have to have, let me see how many, three-fourths. Three-fourths of the states to agree in the states. We've never done that either since the ratification. Ratification in Article 5 talks about the ratification, and it doesn't. I've got all the letters for the ratification. Ratification of the conventions of nine states means in the states. Of the states. And that goes right along with Article 5, in three-fourths of the states. Nine states. Three-fourths thereof. There were 13. 12 is three-fourths. Nine they chose. That's okay. See? The ratification process in Article 7 refers back to the third MOMED, the part of having constitutions in the states. I'll bet there's nobody that really puts those two things together. See what I mean by people don't know the Constitution? Look, it's right there.
And words
again,
matter.
Again, about 100 words apart. Pardon?
And words matter in
yes.
the state. Constitution, not of, but in the states.
Yep.
Different words, words matter.
They matter. They're very, very important.
Exactly. Now, one more thing I want to ask you about, because this, a lot of people aren't really, a lot of people don't know about this. January 6th, okay, and a lot of us patriots who either were supportive of or actually present at the Capitol, we have been labeled insurrectionists, white supremacists. We have been demonized by the leftists, by the globalists, by the communists. All right, now, that said, and believe me, I've felt the heat from this personally. And, you know, I will take that heat. But here's something I want to ask you about. The constitutionality of this. Maybe you might say, well, the hell with the constitutionality of it. But Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, I'm going to tell you what the left, Nancy Pelosi and her crew are doing. I don't know whether you heard about this, but it's you and me. And this appeared on Conservative Treehouse yesterday. Okay. Nancy Pelosi directs Capitol Hill security police units to regional offices in California and Florida. Future locations coming. Now, what Nancy Pelosi is doing is expanding the federal law enforcement mechanism of the legislative branch into specific areas where they can investigate political opposition armed with legal authority. Do they have the friggin' legal authority to do this?
Of course not.
Of course not.
It's not there. The District of Columbia has no authority whatsoever to do anything in any state in the United States. Is that clear?
That's clear. That's clear. So,
but do they pay attention? Do they know it? Oh, Nancy knows they don't have authority to do that. They shouldn't care. Shouldn't care. That's the way they get their power in the state. That's not the only purpose. Let's just look at something. Let's just pay attention to something.
Right.
We had some people get on some planes with guns and things and cause a lot of ruckus. So we began to review what's going on in the planes. So you can't take guns on the planes. Who was doing it? The state was doing it in their airports. Okay? They hired private companies. They were doing it. The state was doing it. Along comes the federal government and says, no, we're going to do it. And they changed all the people that the state had put to airport security. They're all federal employees. What? Where does it give them the right to do that? There isn't any, but they still did it, of course. Then they came up with different kinds of scanning devices to scan people that were personally invasive. Now they make you take off your shoes and your belts and everything. I'm surprised they don't make us strip to our shorts. That's the kind of stuff the federal government will do. They will take that nose of there's a secure place, there's a place in the airports to do security. We were going to put some people there. And then they will blow it up to everything. If they put D.C. police in your city, you can be sure that the D.C. police will begin to take authority away from your regular police, and they will be in charge of your police in your state.
Thank you.
And they will enforce federal law that is not constitutional.
Thank you. This is the biggest usurpation of power, I believe, Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, that there is to date. This Nancy Pelosi is out of control. She is, as far as I'm concerned, she is sucking the teat of Klaus Schwab's 2030 agenda. And you know what? These people who are following this are, you know, look, I don't know if this platform is going to be here a year from now or 6 months from now or 3 months from now. I don't know.
Or tomorrow.
You're right. And folks, this is why you better damn well get serious. And yes, I'm talking to you listening. You better get serious. You better understand what's at stake. You better please understand what's at stake. It's not just our country. It's our lives. Our very lives are at stake. So please, let's do what we can. We have to fight back. The evil is so pervasive, it could choke a horse, a big horse. Okay? So, yes, go ahead.
What were the cities that she chose in that article you put up on the screen? Or the states again?
Well, okay, they're looking at California and Florida to start.
Okay, now, California will get in because California wants it. But where's Florida? Is Florida going to allow, are the people in Florida going to allow the police from the D.C. to take over their country, their state? Are they going to allow that to happen?
Now they're working closely with the U.S. attorney's offices in the states. Now, how much, this is a great question, constitutional question for you, the expert. Does the U.S. Attorney's Office, are they subservient to the state despite
no,
their federal capacity?
They are not.
Okay.
They're in the state taking over things that's not their right. We've let them do it. Federal marshals don't have any right in the states.
All right.
You get this? All these things are not constitutional. None of it is. The state is responsible. Anything in the state belongs to the state. The minute a federal thing is in the state, it's unconstitutional. And I don't care if it's a federal national monument.
Bingo.
It's not constitutional. I don't care if it's Yellowstone Park that the government is monitoring. It's not constitutional.
Thank you for that. Because this, if people are not outraged by this, I, you know what? In 169 days, again, Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, the last 169 days, we've lost more rights than I think the last 169 years. That's my view.
Right. Your rule is absolutely correct. Although Franklin Delano Roosevelt did a good job of taking away rights. But you're absolutely right. This is the worst administration we have ever seen. This one will destroy our country. And that's another nose in the template. Will the people in Florida allow it? Will the people in Florida rise up in arms? Will the people in Florida say, get those D.C. troops the hell out of our state?
Well,
if they don't, it'll be the first stepping stone to go to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. The first one's got to be stopped. And don't bother about California. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of nice, good people in California. And the good people in California better rise up and say, quit it. Get those guys out of our state.
Amen.
If you don't do that, they're going to be in Iowa and Nebraska and everywhere else.
Well, you know what? What you just said, and Sundance is the pseudonym for the writer of this article. I love his stuff. He writes this: state governors need to respond to this action with direct and specific inquiries about what federal, in quotation marks, authorities, in quotation marks, guide these offices. What federal legislative authority created them? The New York Police Department cannot set up a field office in Atlanta, Georgia, or Dallas, Texas. There's no jurisdictional authority that would permit it. So how in the hell, those are my words now, can the D.C. Police Department arbitrarily operate field offices in the states outside of Washington, D.C., jurisdiction? And bam, there it is.
You know what else? Federal, the FBI, out of the state.
That's right. Yeah, just ban them.
Yeah. By the way, yeah, the FBI isn't even constitutional at all. Out of the state. But we're not doing that. Yeah. In fact, when the FBI shows up, everybody salutes smartly and leaves. All the state officials leave.
Yep.
The FBI takes over. I'm sorry, folks. We have bought this problem ourselves. This is just another step. District police, District of Columbia police is going to be an extension of the FBI. That's national, too. That's in your state, and you're happy about it. Why? Because you don't understand what's going on. If this thing in D.C., this D.C. police force, actually does start in Florida, and the state of Florida doesn't shut them down and escort them out, then it'll go everywhere.
And you know what? The people watching this show, the people listening to this show, Dr. Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, Doug Hagman, Hagman Report, we are considered dissidents, political dissidents, and we will be treated that way. The Department of Justice, the FBI, now the D.C. Capitol Police are going to be crawling up our, you know what's, okay, looking for anything they can to throw us in the gulags. And that's not an exaggeration. We are at war with the globalists.
Yes, we are. We're at war. This is a war. And it's a rogue government we're at war with. The Declaration of Independence did not just apply to England. It now applies to Washington, D.C.
There you go. That's
completely
right.
Completely. It now applies to Washington, D.C. And if you people don't understand that, you're going to be looking out the fences of a gulag.
That's right.
And Doug is right. I am considered a dissident.
Yes, you are.
And there's a whole bunch of others that are, too. I'll be also white trash, too. I'll be white supremacist. He's a white supremacist. You bet I am. You bet. I believe in honesty. Well, I'm a white supremacist. You believe in honesty. And that's true. That's as far as it's gone that far.
You,
folks,
you're an American hero.
Please wake up. Please.
Yes. Wake up indeed. I consider you an iconic figure in American history. And you may say, well, who the hell is Richard Brock? Well, who the hell is Doug Hagman? Who the hell are you folks? You know, who is anybody? Look. You are standing up, Richard Proctor, you are standing up for what is right, what is moral, what is lawful, legal, what the Founding Fathers established through your works, saving the Constitution, the Liberty Series, Bathroom Economics, all of this, the information that you put out there. Thank God for that information because, I've got all of the books. I urge everyone to get the books, watch the podcast, give it to your children, grandchildren. Sales pitch, doggone right. You know why?
Yep.
Because we need this. And you,
by the way, my books are censored from any school or library. They're censored. Any school, public library, they're censored.
I'll tell you what.
All right, censored.
The next school board meeting, and I'm serious about this. I'll take several of them,
yes,
and go down there and say, "Here, read this." And not only that, you make sure it's being taught in the school.
Yes, make sure.
And folks, you can do that too.
School. Yes. If you've got to be, never wait.
All right. You know, I can't believe we're out of time already. God bless you, my friend. Thank you so very much.
Take care.
You're a great man. Folks, Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Link will be in the program description box. Don't forget, no show tomorrow. Going to be working in the field. A very important thing. Hopefully there'll be headlines. I got to go. God bless. Have a great night.